How do you successfully shoot a goose out of the air? Kind of an odd start. First of all, have you ever noticed that geese fly in a group? They fly in formation. Do you know why one side of the V that they form, do you know why one side is longer than the other? Well, there's more geese on that side. That's not the point I'm making. But if you're goose hunting, how do you successfully get one of those geese? Here's how you don't do it. You don't aim at the whole flock. Because if you do, and it's a weird reality, but it's true, you will almost inevitably miss everything. If you shoot at the whole flock, you'll miss them all. Instead, look for one that is separated from the group. Put your bead on him. And if you hunt like me, you still will not get the goose. But if you're a decent shot, you'll get your goose. As that famous line in the first Top Gun movie said, "Goose is dead." Keep that in mind. Our readings have an overwhelming theme of humility today. What is humility? Here's what it's not. Sometimes it's just good to define things by what they're not. Humility is not acknowledging what's true. So take, for example, somebody who's a good cook. And you make a great meal, and the people that enjoyed the meal said, "You're an amazing cook. You have a talent, and it's better than I've seen anybody." Humility is not saying, "Oh, no, it's nothing. It's nothing." That's actually a veiled form of pride. And it's actually a most dangerous form of pride because it's veiled, like the camouflage hunter. Rather, humility is acknowledging what is true. And what is true is that if somebody says you're a great cook, then say, "Thank you. Thank God for the gift, and I'm glad I could share it with you." That's humble. So what is true about God? The truth is that God is God, we're not. The truth is that God's in control and we're not. The truth is that we are made in His image and likeness. What is that? The communion of persons. That God is a communion of persons. He's not in isolation. And so what is also true is that God who created you and me in His image and likeness, in justice, He must be worshipped. I don't know if you noticed this, but I know after I had my reversion, I came to realize that by our nature, we're made for worship. I don't know if that's ever crossed your mind, but that's true. By our very nature, we are made to worship. Someone or something we will, but we are made to do that. Walk into somebody's home, and you will likely see what they worship. If not God, we worship something or someone else. How do we worship God? In the same manner that He created us, in His image and likeness. In other words, we worship together. Now, we can do it individually for our individual prayer, but we are called to gather together. That's the truth. And on his day, in particular, we offer him worship together. There is a very, very much growing movement and slogan that says, I am spiritual but not religious. Translated, that means, I believe in God, but I don't want anything called an organized religion. In other words, I don't want a creed to pin me in. I don't want someone, i.e. God, telling me what to believe. In other words, I don't want God's church all kind of create my own. What happens is, now keep in mind the goose, when we start to worship God in isolation, we separate ourselves from his body. And there is someone who is sitting in the weeds, so to speak, ready to put his bead on us. That's just true. One of my favorite movies, and I approach movies like I approach restaurants, once I find, or a menu, once I find something good, I keep going back to it. I don't sample many things. It was a great movie. I don't know if it's a great movie, but I enjoyed it. It's based on the true story of the Memphis Belle. The Memphis Belle was the first B-17 to successfully complete its tour of duty of 25 missions safely in World War II. It took till the summer of 1943 for that to happen. That's how dangerous that was. They don't call it the greatest generation for no reason. But in the movie, as it's focused on their last mission, their 25th mission, and they fly in formation for safety. And as they're on their approach run to the bombing site, of course, they're being attacked by the German fighters, and one of the B-17s is hit, but not shot out of the sky, but they couldn't keep up with the rest of the group. So they had to break off by themselves. And one of the guys on the Memphis Belle said, "Boogeyman's going to get him." You see, when we break away from the crowd, we leave ourselves isolated and separated. And there is one who, as I said, has his bead on us if we do that. Now, this is something people just don't want to talk about. We all agree that evil exists. Just turn on the news. It's there. But what we don't want to acknowledge, I'm speaking in general, what we don't want to acknowledge is that their evil is personified. That the devil is real. Satan is real. Who is he? He's a fallen angel. But not just any fallen angel. Satan is the highest of the angels who fell. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. You see this great dragon, and you see this woman clothed with the sun. She's ready to give birth, and the dragon is there to consume her son when he's born. Then Michael, the great prince, steps in. Who is he? We pray that prayer after every Mass, St. Michael, the archangel. And there he wages war with this dragon, who is called Satan, or the devil, right from Scripture. We see the dragon cast down to the earth, and his tail sweeps a third of the stars from the sky. That is the image of that initial battle that was waged when Satan and all of his minions chose something other than God. And there they are cast down to wage war on the woman and her offspring. Who is that? Us. That's us. So evil is personified, and Satan does exist. How does he come after us? In many ways. The first sign of Satan is division. Why would that be? Because God is a perfect unity. And so his work always has his fingerprint on it. And the first fingerprint, the greatest one, the thumbprint, is division. Separating people from each other. Separating people from God's church. How many churches did God establish? Gave us his one church. We're all called to be there. And so he separates. Another is destruction. And another is the worship of something other than him. How does that manifest itself? In many ways. But in one way and in a growing way today, and this is the whole point of this homily, there is a growing activity of the occult today. We need no further than right here in Neillsville. Have you noticed the storefront? Right at the main intersection. Is that Fifth? Fifth and Hewitt. I always get Hewitt and Grand mixed up. Fifth and Hewitt, right there. What does it say? Palm reading, toll reading, tarot cards, yoga. I'll talk about that in just a second. All of that is of the occult. That door, and I'm not saying anything personally about the person who runs it. Okay? But that door is a gateway into Satan's mansion. That's just true. Why? Because all of that, the occult, and I'll just go through, I've got a list here. Horoscopes, gateway, yoga, so I'll talk about that. Palm reading, astrology, seances, Ouija boards. I was 8 years old when I had a Ouija board introduced to me. I didn't know what it was. Lack of knowledge does not indemnify against effect. We can unknowingly walk into a fire, we're still going to get burned. Tarot cards, Native American spirituality. What does that storefront say? Mystic healing? That's probably Native American spirituality. Energy transfer. All of these things are of the occult, and they are gateways into Satan's living room. Or, maybe better said, they're ways of unlocking the door to our living room and letting him in. That's all real. When I was first in seminary, in theology, not in first in seminary, 2005, we had an exorcist come in and talk to us. At that time, he was one of 19 exorcists in the country. Only 19. Today, there are 125 in the United States. And there still aren't enough. Why? Because the need for exorcisms is at an alarming increase. Why? Because we dabble in the occult and don't even realize it. How are we aware? Contrast. What's the great tactic of the hunter? Camouflage. The hunter's camouflaged so the prey doesn't see him until it's too late. I'm going to take it back to yoga, and I'm going to focus on this because it's everywhere. And I understand, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to gossip here. But I understand that yoga is being allowed in the school here. That's dangerous. And again, if that's wrong, I stand corrected. But if it's not, then we need to stop it. Now, yoga is seen as harmless. Why? Because it's associated, the word yoga is associated strictly with exercise. Here's the problem with that. That's not yoga. Yoga is a Hindu religious practice. And Hinduism is Eastern spirituality, which is New Age, which worships creation. Creation must not, cannot be worshipped. Why? Because it's not God. Only God is to be worshipped. And so what happens is we take one of the component sets in yoga, the exercise, we ascribe the name yoga to it, but then, and I've heard this from people who practiced it and didn't know, Eventually, the chanting and the other types of meditation stuff get introduced. So it's seen as harmless, and then slowly you're brought in. You know the old boil a frog alive? Put him in cool water and slowly turn up the heat? He won't jump out. You can boil him alive. Don't do that, but you can. This is how he operates. He's very, very subtle. He's a tactician. In addition to this storefront, I know personally of an increase in the occult activity here in this area and elsewhere. It is growing. I'm not saying this to bring you down. I'm not saying it to scare you. But I'm telling you because it's true. Okay, so that's the challenge. What's the good news? How do we handle it? Do we have to run around scared? Satan's behind every tree and under every rock. No, he's not. We got to be aware that it's true. Here's how we protect ourselves against it. You know the old saying, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure? Satan and his minions are like rabid trained pit bulls on a 6-foot leash. Don't get within 6 feet of them. Okay? In fact, make sure you don't get within even 7 feet or 8 feet. Get closer to God. Here's how we protect ourselves. First, worship God on his day together every Lord's Day, every Sunday. Don't fall into this trap of I'm spiritual but not religious. That is a lie. I'm not denigrating people who have bought into it. I am simply saying that is false. Worship to God together in his church. 2, make frequent use of the sacraments. Every sacrament received is a flow of God's grace, his very power. I have no power over Satan on my own. He is at a higher level of existence than I am or you are. The only one greater than him is God, infinitely so. Make use of the sacraments. Confession, regularly. Don't just wait until there's a big sin. Go at least once a month. Because there you receive the grace of God and you have the power to resist the temptations of Satan. The sacramentals, the rosary, do you pray it? Pray it every day. The chaplet of divine mercy. God's mercy is what defeated Satan in the first place. It's right there. It's on the cross. What did he say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray the litanies. We have to get back to our devotional life in the church. Not just here, abroad. You older folks remember the day when you had devotions once a week at the church. Where'd they go? Well, I'm guilty too. I need to get those back. Eucharistic adoration. It's him. It's not a piece of bread. It's him. To sit at the feet of the Master and there be in union with him. And finally, personal prayer. Not just as you're going from activity A to activity B. That's good, do it. But carve out time with God every day. Husbands and wives, did you guys just communicate when you were running between activities via phone when you first met each other? Heck no. You sat down, you made time for each other. Make time for God. If we do these things, there's your ounce of prevention. And any attack of evil will bounce off of you. You are protected. You are sealed. If you've found that you've been involved in any of these activities at all, whether you knew it or not, whether you're aware of it at the time or not, bring it to the Lord's mercy. It'll be healed. What happens then is now we are equipped to fight against evil and it will be defeated. I know this is not something people want to listen to, but we have to, folks. Because it's real. We just have to. Look at the news today. Why is this world falling to pieces? Because we've left God as a people. Let's return to Him and let's heal His land.